Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to another episode of Roller Casters. This is your host, Chris, and my trusty co-host, Zach. Say hi, Zach.
Hello, it's Hello. Me. I'm back.
He's back.
I'm back from my dormant sleep.
He's back from his long slumber. We're very glad to have Zach back. And we have a very exciting episode today because if any of you follow us on Twitter or follow me on my personal Instagram, you will know that yesterday was a really important day for me personally and a day that was approximately 3.5 years in the making. I have been waiting and dreaming and talking about and thinking about the Busch Gardens Williamsburg Intamin multi-launch coaster Pantheon for what feels like a lifetime. And I finally got to ride it yesterday at the Platinum member preview. And I will get the easy part out of the way first. It exceeded my expectations.
Yes, sir.
And I will say, I think that the hype has died on this roller coaster for some reason. You know, Velocicoaster opened to rave reviews. Iron Gwazi has opened to rave reviews. And for some reason, I feel like the coaster community has somehow lost sight of Pantheon. And I think that that is going to change over the next couple weeks because this thing is incredible. And I don't know where it's going to fall quite yet. Maybe I won't spoil that this early. But it is definitely a world-class elite S-tier coaster. And as you might know about these Platinum member events, I would guess that somewhere around 75 to 80% of the people that were there were roller coaster enthusiasts, coaster YouTubers, podcasters, etc., personalities in the coaster community. And all I heard were rave reviews in the conversations that I was a part of. And the conversations that I overheard. So I think Busch Gardens Williamsburg has a huge hit on their hands. It's easily the best ride in the park. And yeah, I am excited to talk about it. And Zach, I know as an enthusiast and as my friend who has talked to me about Pantheon for literally years now, I'm sure you have some good questions about the ride that I would be very happy to answer.
You know, I have a few. And I tried, because after we said we were doing this, I tried not to ask you that much about it until we did it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got some. I've seen, like, one POV, I think, so.
I'm going to tell you, like, point blank, this is one of those rides where the POV does not do it justice. I think that's part of the reason that the hype died a little bit is when the POV came out, all of the comments were, it's crawling, slow. It's slow, you know, looks like it gives no airtime, it's not going to be intense at all. I've run into a couple coasters like that in my life that have ended up in my top 10 where the POV did not do it justice, and this is one of those coasters. So I can put those fears to rest, you know, pretty conclusively. You can watch all the POVs you want. This ride hits very different than what the video looks like.
So I have some general, I guess, thoughts about the ride for me, even though I haven't been on it. I think I stayed pretty curious about it, I guess, the whole time. Just because, you know, Intamin fanboy.
You are. I'm a budding Intamin fanboy, by the way. Let's be clear.
So anytime they're doing, like, new stuff, I'm going to follow it. But I'm going to get you there, you know? You're starting the RMC phase is going to get past you.
And I'm I don't know about that. I don't know about that because my RMC fandom has grown even more than my Intamin fandom over the last couple of years.
True.
But I'm definitely
about to get on Iron Gwazi, right?
I am, but I'm also going to get on Velocicoaster on the same trip. So both of those manufacturers have, you know, at least one opportunity to wow me coming up in May. So, yeah, I'm starting to see the light. I'll be honest with you. especially with these newer Intamins, Pantheon definitely did things that I had not experienced before. Like, I got off of my first ride and thought, I've never been on something like this before. Period. Like this, I can't compare this to anything. And that's also part of the reason it's really hard to place in my rankings, is because I can't, like, I'm putting it up against like rides like Twisted Timbers and the Voyage and stuff like that. I can't compare those two rides very easily because they're just completely different. This ride is really unique. Intamin knocked it out of the park, I'm gonna be honest with you. We'll see how it does on reliability. But if it's even like semi-reliable, I think that they really knocked it out of the park with this ride. And they're definitely two for two from what I've heard about Velocicoaster as well.
Let's go. So I guess I have some initial thoughts, I guess, about it. Then I guess that'll lead you into your little review maybe.
Sure.
So I guess generally, obviously I love Intamin. I've always been excited about this ride. I go to Busch Gardens Williamsburg more, I'd say the most, other than my home park, even though I really haven't been going there much either. So I think I've just always been excited for it because it's the most accessible new coaster for me.
Right.
Obviously, I love the layout. And again, I haven't been on it, so this is just for me looking at pictures and videos. I think the layout, to me, if I'd had to give one negative just by looking at it, watching POVs, I think it looks short. But then again, we'll get your opinion on it because you've ridden it. So
yeah,
I'm interested to hear if it does feel short or if it feels complete.
It's close. So there were definitely, I will put it to you like this. When I rode it the first time, I was under the impression that I was only going to ride it once. Mm-hmm. Busch Gardens, over and over and over again, like, continued to hammer home, you get a voucher for one ride, we are not doing re-rides. Spoiler alert, that turned out to be false. But when I rode it the first time, I rode back row. I was going to get my time's worth for sure. Like, I did everything, like, to make the best of this ride. And when it was over, I definitely felt like, God, I can't believe that's already over. Like, I waited this long for this ride, and I can't believe it's already over. But I will say, because the swing launch, so the layout itself looks short, but because the swing launch is probably half of the ride, also the best part of the ride, by the way. But because the swing launch is half of the ride, it feels like it's long enough. Like, by the time you're crossing the top hat, you feel like you've been on half of a ride already. As opposed to, like, if you just looked at the layout, it would look like, wow, that's like the first quarter of the ride and it's really small. Was there room for like maybe one more element? Maybe. But I also feel like some of the elements and features that I didn't think I was going to care about were really, really good, like in a surprising way. And that made it feel much more complete. So kind of a nuanced answer, but, like, you know, there were some rides where I felt like it was too short, but overall I think that it is appropriate. And you definitely feel like you go flying into the brake run as well off of that wave turn. And you feel like, holy shit, like, what just happened to me? And that's what I want. Where other rides drag on for, like, you know, their last quarter. And you feel like, why am I still on this? This ride was, I think, appropriate in length.
So it's, I guess, basically quick but fulfilling.
Yeah, extremely, extremely fulfilling.
I don't know if I have any other thoughts, really. I'm really just curious as what you think since you've been on it, like I said. So, I mean, yeah. I guess generally when I look at it, to me, not being on it, I would assume the highlights would be the first, are they calling it a Zero G?
The Zero G Winder.
That thing looks sick. It yeah. crawls through that thing, and the hang time looks sick.
Yeah.
The backwards, it has a back, like a step up into the top hat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that, there's and then it has one into the spike, right?
There's a couple step ups in the swing launch. Yeah.
There's two, right?
Yeah.
Like icebreaker, kind of.
It is,
So those yeah. like, those are the other things that I would assume is the highlight. Yeah. And then the outer bank looks insane, but I'm one of the people who watch the videos and like it's going slow through that, so I don't, I'm not sure if that's as crazy as it could be.
That is a very valid concern. Absolutely.
Oh. All right, I'll let you rip the actual.
I mean, I will also will say like I'll cover like the low hanging fruit here, which is that people have been complaining about theming. And those people are right. This ride does not remotely live up to what I would consider to be Busch Gardens Williamsburg standards. They love to have signs all over the park that say it's the most beautiful park in the world or whatever. This does not, this feels much more akin to, like a Six Flags coaster. Like you have the sign, you have a couple little pieces of theming, maybe. And other than that, there's not much. The plaza itself is kind of grim, which is really disappointing. They had so much time. There was supposed to be a restaurant in the plaza, which got cut from the budget. Like, it really isn't. It was not impressive. Like, when I crossed the bridge, I was in awe of the coaster. It was the closest I've ever been to the coaster. But in terms of everything else, I think they just did some fresh landscaping, so it looks pretty good in that regard. But the queue, I heard comments from even like normal people who were just platinum pass holders being like, this can't be done. Like, this can't be done. There's no way they finished this because it looks bad. It's just simply ugly. And the main comment that I want to say about the queue, two comments. It's really short. Like, I don't know what they're thinking. It's really, really short. It probably will hold 45 minutes tops of like a queue. Like I don't understand. It's literally a long path, a small tunnel, and then another long path up the stairs. So that's the whole queue. And so they better have an overflow plan in place because that thing is going to have 2.5 hour wait minimum for like this whole year, pretty much. And the operations were really slow, like predictably. But they were probably doing 3, 4, 5, as high as 6 minute dispatches on a ride model that's supposed to be fast to like, it's a quick thing. Like there's no bullshit going on with this one. You put the lap bar down, somebody touches it, you're good to go. But they were taking forever. I think they did a great job. I don't want to criticize the ops. There was obviously some new ops on this team. And I think they did a good job, but I'm really concerned about the queue. And the other part that I'm really concerned about for myself and anyone who has to stand that line is that the first half of the queue is literally directly next to a cow pasture. Like I'm really not joking. Like it smelled like shit for probably half of the queue. And in the summer, in the heat, stuck in a long line, standing next to a cow pasture. Like I just can't imagine what they were thinking in that regard. And it's literally just like the tiniest little minimal fence between the queue and the cow pasture. You could jump the fence and go play with the cows if you wanted to. That's how close it is. And it smells horrible. I will say they had, so the entry sign is really nice. Very, very cool. If they had put a quarter of the effort into everything else that they put into that sign, it would have been an incredibly themed ride. The shed that houses like the maintenance bay is hideous, and it's right behind the sign. It's literally just like metal poles with like a blue tent on top, and they put flags up, but it doesn't look any better. And I've posted pictures in various places where you can see that's the view, like that's the most photographed perspective is the sign with that in the background. It looks horrible. Throughout the queue, it's mostly just like crudely painted privacy fence. Like I told Taylor when I came home, like I feel like they went to Home Depot and got whatever was on clearance, because it's very crudely done. It looks like they threw it together. But they do have these big stone tablets as you go with like some background story on each. And so it's like five chapters and each chapter is a different god. And it tells the story of like how you're interacting with that god via each element. Which was pretty cool for like story building, but ultimately because there was nothing else, it didn't matter very much. I will say when you get to the bottom of the stairs to get in the station, the view of the spike is like miraculous. Like it is so cool. I could have stood there all day and watched people like go up and down that spike. It's, you're like right under it. You're looking right up at it. It's, that's a very cool feature. And yeah, the station is just a shed with a blue roof. It's what we've been talking about. They changed nothing. There's flags hanging on either side. That's pretty much it. No other evidence of theming whatsoever. Definitely a letdown in that department. And I know that nobody from Busch Gardens is going to listen to this, and I'm glad because I don't want them to hear me say this, but they made a really snide remark at the construction, at the Hard Hat tour, where they said that riders won't notice the lack of theming when they're on the ride, right? And that's a shitty thing to say. Like, I don't like that at all. That doesn't fly for me, but they were right. Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, I've even talked to a couple of people in the past, like, you know, 24 hours about Velocicoaster versus Pantheon. I haven't been on Velocicoaster, but obviously the theming on Velocicoaster is as good as it gets. The theming on Pantheon is as bad as it gets, arguably. And I think it was Jarrett, actually, that said word for word, like, Pantheon is literally just in the middle of a field.
And yeah, it is.
And it's true. And I told him, word for word, I didn't notice that I was in the middle of a field while I was riding it. Period. If they would have put some like Roman columns or whatever throughout the field, I don't think I would have noticed. I really don't. So could they have done better with the plaza, the station, the queue? 100%. In terms of just having a coaster in a field, it is what it is. You don't notice it. The views are incredible from like the whole ride. That's really what the focus is. But yeah, I mean, I pulled up to the park at 1 p.m. For a 3 o'clock opening. And you can imagine that all of the people that were lined up for the parking terminals were very similar to you and I. So I made some friends, took some pictures, ran into some people I had seen before. I actually ran into a guy that I met at Carowinds last year. We rope dropped Fury together. So I caught up with him a little bit. That was cool. It's a cool, you know, it's a very niche, small community, and we're all really weird. And so I feel like that's a cool element of these types of events is you see people that you've run into before, you see people that you've interacted with online that you've never met in person. So that was cool. I was probably on the second or third public train, of the day, which is really cool. And, Busch Gardens ran into a little problem that they did not anticipate, which is that with the one ride only rule, everybody went to the front row or the back row, and they literally ran probably 20 trains where rows 2 through 8 were empty because everybody lined up for the front and back because they were going to get their time's worth like I was doing. So I rode back row. And yeah, I mean, first ride impressions, if I hadn't ridden it again, I don't think my opinion would have been that much different because it was riding well in the morning. It was cold out, and that's probably Pantheon at its lowest potential, and it was incredible. And if you know me, you know I had very high expectations for this, and I was actually a little sad driving to Busch Gardens yesterday because I was thinking about the possibility of this coaster letting me down, and it simply did not. You were on track with what you thought were the highlights. So I will say up front that I had slightly different expectations. I thought the airtime off the top hat would be a highlight. And I especially thought the outward bank over the river, I thought that was going to be the best element on the ride. I was wrong on both counts. But I will break these down. The zero G winder. So the little launch, I think it's like a 30 mph launch maybe into the zero G winder, but it is definitely more powerful than you would assume. It gives you a real nice little jolt because it's a short, quick launch. and it does absolutely crawl through that inversion. And the hang time is insane. I want to say as well, those new Intamin restraints are chef's kiss, 10 out of 10, easily the most comfortable, accessible. Like, I really like, kudos to them. Reminded me a lot of Copperhead Strikes, you know, similar type of restraint. And I hope that that's where the industry goes in the future, you know, for over the shoulders, because they are truly comfortable. I had room for airtime, but I felt secure, but I also felt scared because there was nothing over my shoulders. So the hang time in an inversion like that with just a restraint in your lap is fucking insane, like genuinely insane. And that's how it kicked off. And I did not think that that was going to be anything. In my mind, that inversion was like a JoJo roll where it's a fun little quirk at the beginning, but it's not anything you're going to remember. I was wrong. Like, that element gets shit popping. Like, it's really, really fun. And I heard a lot of people cool. Say that again.
I always thought it looked cool, even like from like the animated stuff. And then I guess, so what that leads you into those like little bunny hills, I guess, if you want to call them that.
Yeah. And you're not going very fast when you hit those. And so different parts of the train, I felt those differently. Oddly, when I was close to the front, those actually did something. The second one especially, but they're very familiar if you've had experience with like the RMC, like pre-lift, like trick track sort of situation where like you're kind of doing a like yo whoa back and forth. And that's pretty much it. But in the front, I did get like at least a hair of airtime on the second one. And it's fun. It makes it so it's not a boring transition, you know, between that initial inversion and the first launch. But yeah, you go over those, you go into the first launch. The first launch is not intense. It's definitely like a getting you up to speed. And the launch is odd because you have like this initial launch section and you pop up and then you hit like a booster almost. And the booster is more intense than the initial launch. And so you kind of feel like, okay, I've launched, and then you're going, and it doesn't really feel like much. And then you hit that booster, and you really get a kick up the top hat. Coming back down the top hat is fun. Nothing too incredible. But the backwards launch is like maybe I'm torn between the backwards launch or the second forwards launch as being the best moment on the coaster. The backwards ejector airtime in the backwards launch is like, I don't know. I was trying to think of this last night. I can't think of an element that has surprised me more than the airtime, the pure ejector during the launch, both moments of ejector airtime. I heard so many people on the train be like, holy shit. Like, what was that? Because I did not expect that at all. Did not even, like, that wasn't on my radar. It is an incredible moment. I don't even know if it was intentional, to be honest. Like, kind of feels like, you know, it almost has like a leveling feature where they're just trying to level the track. But it gives incredible airtime. The launch up the spike is amazing. I've been comparing it to like being shot in a rocket backwards. And when it gets to the top, it comes back down. Like, it hangs there for a second. And back row, that thing might not look that tall when you're just looking at it. Being on the ride, you feel like you are well up there backwards. Which, very quick side note, this makes me a lot more excited for the prospect of Drakenspire. Because getting launched up 300-plus feet in that configuration could be extremely exciting based on what I experienced yesterday. But yeah, the spike is really fun. The spike ended up being a highlight for me, which, again, not on my radar. Kind of thought that was going to be a whatever sort of moment. Nice floater on the way down, especially in the back. I will say also, I rode almost every row. This proof positive, this is an elite coaster. Every single row that I rode was fun. Every single one. There was some strong variation between the front of the train and the back, but every row was fun. And that to me is the mark of an S tier coaster. And it definitely ticked that box, but, Yeah, the forwards launch out of the spike, probably my favorite moment. The ejector over that little tiny little hill is RMC caliber, quite frankly. Like, you can watch, if you see any like back row POVs, watch what people's bodies do when that moment hits, because it is actually nutty. The top hat was definitely crawling, and this has been probably the most common conversation that people have had about this coaster over the past couple months, is that the top hat was crawling. For me, it was still very fun, and the crawling element made it a different type of fun than if it flew over the top hat. So it felt like you were going to roll back, number one. Like, every time, every single time in my head, especially in the back row, I'm thinking, are we even going to get over this top hat? The front row and the back row have completely different types of airtime. You get a nice pop when you hit the top in the front row. In the back row, it's delayed until you're working your way, you know, pretty far down, but you do get some nice floater going down the top hat. It's not as intense as I would have thought, but I also think the summertime, that thing is going to be absurd, quite frankly, with how good it was yesterday.
Do you remember the initial testing video where it flew over it?
They did that yesterday. Before people were in the park, they were testing it at full speed.
Is there a break on it, or is it the launch they're changing?
No, I think it's the launch. Yeah, apparently there's a rumor, I can't confirm this, but there's a rumor that when management rode it at full speed, they were afraid it was going to get like the I-305 treatment by the public, that it was going to be too intense for people, and so they turned it down.
I guess they're doing like Hollywood Nights. Is that what the voice thing?
Well, and I, like, honestly, like, so, again, I want to reiterate for anybody listening, the top hat is still a very fun element. It just isn't quite the highlight that I thought it would be. But the airtime is good. The airtime is good in either the front, towards the front or towards the back. It's just very different depending upon where you're sitting. But I really liked it. The view up there is incredible. I got a couple night rides at the end of the day, and the views from up there at night are, like, spectacular. And side note, that field is pitch black. There is not a light even close to that ride. It is pitch black out there. It was a whole extra thing. I only got two night rides, so I'm not prepared to have a full opinion, but I will say, like, definitely elite night rides. One of my favorite night rides I've ever had was my last ride of the night, back row in the pitch dark. It was actually wild. But yeah, that leads us into what I thought was going to be the best element of the ride, which it is not. It is not. And I'm just going to say that fully concrete. It is not the best element of the ride. But the Outward Bank.
It leads you into Pluto.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Jupiter goes into Pluto.
Yeah, it does. You know, that's true.
They had to name the parts of the ride to go with the great theming.
Yep. Definitely. You're very aware of what God you're dealing with each step of the way. They made it very clear. But I will say, like, my first ride, the Outward Bank was definitely like an actual letdown, where I thought that is not at all what I thought that was going to be like. I'm very used to the RMC Outward Banks. Yes. I mean, just completely sideways ejector airtime. This was nothing like that. This was much more graceful floater. I will say the left side of the train is the best side because of this element, and it's because your body gets dangled over that river, and it's wild. But definitely no real ejector on that element at all in the morning, 3 p.m. when it first opened. There was some good airtime when it kind of makes that turn back into the drop to go into the stall. The good airtime I found on that element was after the Outward Bank had occurred, but it's mostly floater. When I came back later, several hours later, every single ride, the airtime was increasing and getting closer and closer to like somewhere in the territory of like Steel Vengeance Outward Bank ejector, like actual ejector. There's some pictures floating around.
Do you think they were adjusting the launch then? Or do you think it was just warming up?
I think it was just warming up. I really do. I think it was just warming up because the top hat was doing similar things all day, but it was getting gradually more intense as the day went on. And like straight up, like there's pictures on Twitter, that people took, like, you know, with their GoPros or whatever, where you, especially the left side of the train, people are literally like hanging completely out of their seat downwards, like towards the river. And that is the experience that I had. And I mostly tried to sit in the left once I realized that was the best. But it definitely turned to ejector. And so kind of like float ejector, I would say, like, is the overall experience with that element. But it definitely is going to be better when it's warm. But it was a fun element. It just wasn't the best element for me like I thought it would be. The stall is fantastic. It feels like it goes on forever. It's so long. And it's literally like, again, with just the lap bar restraint, like you feel very exposed. And they have two bars. There's like supports in like a triangle, almost like a triangle shape. And there's a bar that goes underneath you. And when you're upside down, I'm 6 foot three and a half. And the height limit is 6'4" on this ride. I felt like my hands were going to high five these bars. And they come in rapid succession, one after another. That element is wild. That was one of my favorite elements on the ride, which, again, did not expect that. That's not my favorite kind of thing. And then you immediately flip back over and go through another, like, head chopper, which was the closest one of the whole ride, underneath the top hat. That one looked like I was going to lose my head, actually. And you're still, like, you're ripping at this point. Like, I felt like it picked up speed as it went. And then you fly into that wave turn. Really good airtime on that. That element also surprised me. I kind of thought, like, you know, that could be something, but probably not. Really good airtime, and then you slam into the brake run. And it is very, very, very fun all the way through. The pacing is really good. I didn't feel like there was a dull moment whatsoever. Glossy smooth. And, of course, it should be. It's brand new, but we know how this goes sometimes. That thing did not have like the faintest hint of a rattle at any part. And it was freezing. I got on Verbolten in the same day, and that thing was like violently shaking in the cold weather. But this thing was glossy smooth, very comfortable, very fun. Much more airtime than I anticipated in spots I didn't think I would get any. Good hang time. It's just like a crazy good combination of things. The speed on the second and third launch especially feel really, really intense, much more so than I thought, but not in a way that's uncomfortable. And I think that's really important because I feel like a lot of people feel, you know, get nausea, stuff like that from launches. This one is very comfortable, but also intense and fun. But I honestly, I'd give this coaster a 9.7 out of 10 or somewhere in that category. It's definitely a five out of five stars for me. It's elite, it's top 10. And I hope that, you know, the hype picks back up because it is very deserving.
I think it will.
Well, Coaster Studios video will come out today and everybody will be talking about how it's either the best or worst coaster in the world, depending upon what he says. So,
I thought you met him, didn't you? Didn't you meet him there?
Yeah, really, really nice. Really, really nice. Sarah and Taylor both are very delightful people, actually. So, yeah. Yeah, there was a bunch of like coaster celebrities, you know, for lack of a better word there. And it was cool. The vibes were good. It was a good event. I will say, like, tiny little piece of story is that I asked the park president himself, tell me honestly, what are the odds that we will get re-rides? And he said, 0%. 0%. That's what he said, 0%. And then I asked another guy, just to see if I would get a different answer, another manager, his name was Tim. I said, hey, Tim, what are the odds I'm going to get another ride? And he said, you will get to ride it again on March 25th with everybody else. Okay? So I said, okay, I'm going to go. So I walked around the entire park. The Italy Bridge is closed, by the way. So it's a U-shape now instead of a circle. I went all the way to Oktoberfest, the completely opposite side of the park. I rode Verbolten. I got a pretzel. I'm eating my pretzel and I go to check Twitter, and BGW fans, bless their heart, says on Twitter, rerides are a go as of 5 p.m. And I was looking at my phone at 5:02. So I swallowed my pretzel, chugged my Coke Zero, threw my stuff in the trash, and power walked across the park, and then rode the coaster 13 more times before it was eventually closed for temperature. So I'm glad, I want to be very clear about this opinion. I'm glad that Busch Gardens Williamsburg eventually made the right decision. But my God, do they do everything completely fucking backwards all the time. Incredibly frustrating. None of the staff had any idea what the policy was. They were checking people's vouchers. They were asking to check people's vouchers on the train in the station when they took the vouchers away at the entrance to the ride. People were like, I don't have it. They took it. And they were like, oh, they did? Like, okay, well, I guess you're good then. They tried to check our vouchers at three different locations. They had 10 kiosks, 10 self-service kiosks total in operation. And the only way you got into this event was printing a voucher at the self-service kiosk. I love this park with my whole heart. It's a very important part of my childhood and my life, but they drive me fucking insane. And I want to be clear about all of that. Two things can be true. Pantheon is a world-class roller coaster. It is deserving of all the praise. It is an incredible addition to my home park. But also, my home park has worms in their brains, and they cannot do anything correctly. I want to be very clear about that. Today and tomorrow, the you know, all membership preview, they're going to be a shit show. I guarantee it. You will hear about it in a couple hours. They are going to be a shit show because Busch Gardens Williamsburg does not know how to do anything correctly. I rest my case.
Dude, I'm just looking at pictures, like, while you were talking about all the stuff, I was kind of just going through the elements you were talking about. So the one thing I would like to say, I remember because this coaster took so long, at least we have this, you know, we don't have theming. It was in a dirt field, or like when it was being built. Now it's grass, you know?
Now it's dead grass, yeah. It's nice.
Well, yeah, it's currently dead. But I mean, some of these from like last year, though, looks like, you know, it's a nice green pasture.
Yeah, it used to be a pasture.
Rolling green hills.
Yeah. It is not a pretty sight. I cannot stress that enough. It is not a pretty sight over there. But it is an elite ride. In a way that definitely, like, I don't really care. Like, Iron Gwazi doesn't have good theming either, but I'm not going to notice. Like, that's actually on a dirt patch, but I'm not going to notice that when I ride it because it's elite, which I have a date with Iron Gwazi in May. So I'll definitely be talking about that in a couple weeks, months.
Now that looks crazier than I expected.
Yeah, that's like potential number one territory, to be honest. So we'll see. I think also, I think it's a good time to reveal where I tentatively have Pantheon ranked. So I want to say one thing, which is that I heard so many coaster Instagram dudes immediately get off the ride. That's my new number one. Pantheon's my new number one. Pantheon's better than Steel Vengeance. I literally heard people say that like the whole time. That's not true. Like, that's not true. I was being very patient with my opinion. I wanted to really develop it. I wanted the excitement to wear off before I started thinking about where it placed. The easiest question for me to ask is it the best coaster in Virginia? I have Twisted Timbers ranked at number 6. If it is the best coaster in Virginia, it will go at least in my top 6. Nice. Okay? Yeah, top 5 or 6. So I decided, gun to my head, if somebody comes to me and says, you get to ride one more roller coaster one more time, and it's between Twisted Timbers and Pantheon, I would pick Pantheon. So Pantheon is the best coaster in Virginia, in my opinion. So then the other argument that I had to sort out, which is very difficult to do, because these coasters could not have less in common if they tried. My number 5 is the Voyage, okay? I needed to decide if I liked this coaster better than the Voyage. Tentatively, I don't think so. I think that my 1 through 5 is in a tier above what Pantheon is. But Pantheon is the cream of the crop of that second tier of like 5-star, you know, 10 out of 10 coasters. So tentatively, it could change tomorrow. Pantheon is my number 6 overall out of 149 credits. Which, not to be honest, shabby. Dude, there was moments last week where I was like, this thing's not even going to get in my top 25. Like, I don't even know. And so to have it at number 6 feels really good. And I have a really good feeling that at a minimum, when I get to ride it a lot in the summer, it is going to work its way up those rankings. I don't see it ending up higher than Fury or El Toro or, you know, Steel Vent, nothing like that. But I could see it jumping at least the Voyage once it's warmed up in the summer. So great job, Busch Gardens. You did everything completely wrong, and you still ended up with a world-class coaster. So for that, I commend you. You know, can't wait to see what happens next with Dark Coaster and Drakenspire. I have full faith in your abilities.
They just keep adding the launch coasters, dude. It's going to be like, I don't know. They're going to have to change their name to do something with, like, NASCAR or something. Since
they hate lift hills. They literally hate lift hills. I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all.
I think I love it's just a space.
Lift. Yeah. Well, definitely, Dark Coaster makes perfect sense. But we could have, like, we could literally have, like a Conda clone in the Festhouse field instead of whatever the hell Drakenspire is going to be. But that is for another episode. But in summary, I love this ride.
It was good.
I'm kind of obsessed with it at this point, to be honest. I had trouble sleeping last night because I was sort of replaying those ejector moments during the launch in my head over and over and over again. So if you have an opportunity soon, get out to Busch Gardens Williamsburg. Enjoy this ride. It is a great addition. It was worth the wait. And I thank Busch Gardens for giving me the opportunity to ride 14 times yesterday, which I did not expect when I pulled up to the park in the morning. So one of our most anticipated coasters of 2020 and 2021 and 2022 is now open. I've gotten to ride it, and it met and exceeded my hype. So I am a happy enthusiast today. I hope you guys get an opportunity to ride it soon. It's an incredible, incredible addition to Busch Gardens Williamsburg. And Zach, I hope that you come down to Busch Gardens sometime soon so we can ride that bitch together.
I would love to. I know those new intimate restraints are pretty big boy friendly. So they
definitely are.
I feel like I could, you know,
they definitely
I might
are.
Be able to get on it.
They are very, very comfy and forgiving, unlike other manufacturers based out of Utah.
RMC.
Or Idaho? Where the hell are they even from? Doesn't
Listen,
matter.
RMC, you sell me a shirt my size, but I can't ride your rides. You take my money.
Questionable. Well, thanks guys for listening. This was a real quick one. Like I said, happy, happy days at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. Pantheon is finally here, and it slaps. But we will see you all next time. Say bye.
Bye. We love
bye.
You. Thanks for
we
listening.
Love you. Bye. Bye.